Good morning. Today is Wednesday, July the 1st. Happy New Year, Virginia.
Happy fiscal New Year. Where did half of 2020 go?
Yeah. That's right. Now it's 2021. As you might imagine, Virginia Bass is with us this morning. Winston, why do we say it?
I've got two here. Which one do you want? Sabotage or saltwater taffy?
Oh, it's got to be taffy for Virginia.
Okay.
I don't know.
What is the reason we call the taffy candy saltwater taffy?
Saltwater taffy. It's a pirate's name that found this candy in Asia Minor in the 800s. Brought it home and they started making it.
It's not that.
I mean, the obvious thing is be like it's made of salt water, but that the obvious doesn't make sense anymore. I've learned with these things. So I'm thinking it's named saltwater taffy after some bar maiden named Taffy who worked in a salty bar, and she came up with this sweet concoction. How's that?
You started off so well, and then you verged into the same left field area that Brian did. In 1818, as the legend goes, a small candy store situated on the boardwalk in Atlantic City, New Jersey, was damaged in the middle of the summer by a heavy storm. After the storm was over, the shop owner came back to discover that the water from the ocean had splashed all over the taffy in his case. So he put up a sign, Saltwater Taffy, 10 cents, and the name caught the public eye, and it's been used ever since.
Ah, well, you were close.
How come this one?
No, I was going to compliment you that you got a lot closer on that than I did.
Well, the interesting thing is it actually made sense because most of these, to me, salt water was too obvious, though.
Yeah. But it's an East Coast product, so we don't really care too much about it.
Yeah, we like it, though.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I'm missing with the new approach to our cuisine, is some of those candies. Sneak a $100,000 bar every once in a while, though. That, to me, is number
pretty
one.
Rich for you.
Yeah, yeah. So how are you guys and gals able to develop a budget with all of the different variables that are in play and some of the changes that are going on with the grant sources, the state in general, the federal in certain places, new standards for some of the requirements that you guys and gals have to abide by in order to get funding? Is it a brave new world every week when you come into work?
At least, yeah. It's quite interesting trying to pass the budget this year. You know, we pretty well went into this as we moved forward. I think looking at this kind of like a placeholder budget because, you know, as you're alluding to, there's just a lot of unknowns. And when it comes to, I mean, it's, you know, things like our tax base is already a problem. We know that. But the dollars that routinely come to us from, you know, other sources is really challenged this year. And, you know, the one that, let's just say there's one that's about $7 million that years ago, I might have talked with you about this before, but it's called realignment dollars. And over the years, the state has given certain duties to counties to take care of certain populations that they used to, and they supply a funding source. But what happened this year is the funding source, which is based on all sorts of formulas for what you do and which clientele you serve, that was part of what the governor's budget was slashing to get their budget in line. But the thing there is like, hey, wait, this is an agreement that we've had. We provide services for the state that they used to do, and there's a funding mechanism, and they wanted to take it away. And for us, that would have been this one case with a realignment of mental health services, and I think it was also part of the prison realignment. You're right, over like $8 million coming to our community this year, and that's a lot of dollars. That's a lot of services that can't be provided at a time when services are going to be even needed even more. So a lot of what we have built is, in our budget is pretty precarious. And I know the governor did come out with his budget, and we supposedly kept those dollars in there after a lot of struggle for local government. But it's scary because now he can actually attach those if we don't do what the state wants in regards to COVID.
So it's almost performance driven, but not by the niche or the service that it was intended for. It's like across the board.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. The information that came out from the state this week regarding some of the counties. There's counties that are on watch lists for the COVID, and you get on the watch list by not hitting specific parameters of like testing and how many new cases, and there's like four or five parameters. And so the governor is the counties that have been on that list for more than 2 weeks are having the bars shut down by the state. Counties that are on there between 14 days can make their own choice whether to close the bars down in their county. But if they choose not to, there's provisions where some of the dollars that we would be getting for these other things would be clawed back. I mean, so there's this language that right at this moment makes it kind of like, wait, the performance-based, but this is supposed to be our money anyway, and, you know, it's not performance-based from the standpoint that he's saying you have to close, it's recommending you close. You know, I still do the air quotes from Mrs. Gildeskard. And so I know we have a call, our CSAC officers have a call with the governor in the afternoon and trying to get him to realize that, you know, it's like before they were trying to attach some of the road funds for if we hadn't built enough homeless housing, he was trying to put a mechanism that he could take some of our SB1 road funds.
Well, it sounds a little bit more independent-minded than what most of us are accustomed to thinking. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Virginia Bass. Virginia, considering some of the different challenges that are going on, I'm reading a book. I probably ought to remember what the title of it is, about the White House. And there's something called White House-itis that once you get in there, entitlement starts happening. There's a different attitude. People treat you differently, et cetera, et cetera. It seems to me like with what you're talking about with some of these COVID watch or COVID related access, if you don't play by my rules, I'm going to take not only my toys, I'm going to take your toys also. Where did that one come from? Or is that part of the emergency declaration powers that the governor has access to?
You know, that's a good question. And you know, I don't think it's specific necessarily to our governor. I think there's probably other states going through similar things, depending on what state you're in. But, you know, the governor does have broad discretion. And most of the things that say the language of different bills and different funding that comes forward, or even like take not funding, but, you know, the increase in the minimum wage that's scheduled to go in, they have triggers built into a lot of the language that if this happens, then this happens. So, you know, there's probably some language that points in all these things. My thought is, if you go back through whatever legislation we're looking at, that there is, if the state budget deficit falls within, you know, this due to emergency, then we can do this.
And isn't that really snaky and unprincipled, because then none of the electeds have to take a vote and there's no accountability. I'm sorry, we would like to not to do that, but it's written into the legislation that was passed 3 years ago.
Well, yeah, yes and no, because I can't promise you what that looks like. I think with the minimum wage one, you know, because there is some triggers where if certain things happen, the governor can come out and, you know, suggest not doing it. And there's a process, and I think they do have another vote in that. So it's just, but it is an unknown process to the rest of us. You know, I mean, you sit there trying to figure it out, and I've learned you can't count on anything, but it's that way.
Yeah, so, well, no, I'm talking about grabbing your funds if you don't perform in a certain way.
The language right now, I don't know exactly what it is. What we do know is the way it stands right now, before it's completely finalized, has the local governments really concerned on how that would be enforced and how would he decide, right? Because it's not clear cut if you don't do whatever the governor says, we're taking it all. If they leave language and they'll say, well, we may need to do X or whatever. It's different. It's an interesting time. And you know, every day brings something new. And by the time the afternoon phone call is over, I'll probably have even some different information, because that is the one constant in this whole thing, is everything's changing daily. And, it's not just here. I did take a one-day trip, put it that way, drive down to, went to Santa Rosa because a winery is being sold, and we know this person, he wanted to give him a, say goodbye. I have to say, down there, I saw a lot of really proper, social distancing etiquette, whatever you want to call it, a lot of safety measures. I didn't go a lot of places, but a few places I went, were really trying to do it right. And, but every place I ask, how has it been? And they say it's great, but it changes every day. The rules change. And that's one of the problems, is what's coming to us from up on top adjusts, and that's good if they're getting, if they're figuring it out. But for the businesses, something changing every day, it doesn't work. You can't come to work every day and figure out the next new thing you have to do something right.
Yeah, the lack of consistency is something. Well, yeah. And I would think not only for the business folks, but then for those that, because it's got to be happening within county departments and city departments also, that everything is just so variable that how do you plan on anything? Or anticipate even something as simple as vacation days? Who knows?
What's vacation?
Yeah.
It is interesting, and it's, like I said, the language that's in there right now just is a place for concern, because these dollars, we don't believe things should be attached to performance, but that didn't sound right. This is an unusual type of performance. It's not like the normal dollars that, you're supposed to do X, Y, and Z. It's like, wait, these dollars are supposed to be for this, and we'll get them, but there's strings kind of attached. And
new strings, though.
I don't know, and they seem to waffle around a lot. So anyway, we should know more. Now that it is July, the state's into their new fiscal year too. And
my question related to that also is this standard operating procedure? Is this what the state does on a routine basis, but it's just more visible because of the situation that it's associated with?
I would say from my experience, which is, not vast and definitely not in the I'm not in the finance office or anything, but having seen the situation and the conversation around the road funds, and they were not successful, or he was not successful at attaching the road funds to use, as a lever to get people to build. At least, not that I've heard any actually happening yet. But so, I would say it's not specific to this issue. I think the governor does have an ability to, you know, he's got some latitude, but those of us, you know, let's just say those of us in local government can't exactly
We're at the wrong end of the dog on this one.
Yeah.
KINS so, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hi, I'm Vanessa with PG&E. If you see a down power line, stay away from it and keep others away. Call 911. Let our first responders come out and handle it. Police and fire will respond as well as PG&E. To learn more, visit pge.com/safety.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at smokeybear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service, Ad Council, and your state forester.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Virginia Bass, Humboldt County 4th District Supervisor. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Virginia, looking forward, you know, with the budget kind of being, let's just say, fluid because of some of the stuff that the state is changing or requiring or redefining, and I'm sure the feds are doing the same thing. How are you guys and gals able to do some of the compliance issues? You know, the ADA thing, was pretty cut and dry, but then that had a little bit of a change on it. Some of the social service programs appeared like they were cut and dry, had a change to it. The jail, roads, et cetera, et cetera. How do you not just lose your marbles with this stuff?
Well, you're assuming that we have all of our marbles left.
Yeah, I was giving you a little bit of credit there, yeah.
Okay. Thanks, that was really nice of you. it's crazy. It's not a system that, you know, coming from business background, government is just way different, right?
Yep.
I think we do kind of not lose our marbles, but it gets really intense. There's a lot more. I mean, we've had some our last meetings when we had our budget conversations. I didn't realize it at the time until I had some email that people said, wow, that was really intense. It's like, oh, really? Okay. But, you know, we all are trying to get, we all have things that are important to us, right? And when it's just a little bit of money, like from Measure Z, it's a tough decision on what goes where. But even, even just in the, regular scope of budgeting, there's choices that have to be made. And we can't not do the ADA stuff. And the curb ramps, I can't remember the exact cost. It's crazy. You know, it's like, who'd have thought that many curb ramps throughout a very large county actually could equal so many millions of dollars? And, but we can't not do it. So yeah, how do we get there without losing the other things that are important to community, as in safety and mental health, and especially right now, there's people, I think mental health through all this is probably even more challenged in a lot of instances, and those aren't dollars we really need to lose either. We just need to print it.
Right. Yeah, you forgot that department, huh? The Humboldt County Treasury Department. Yeah.
Yeah, we should talk to Bartholomew about that.
Yeah.
So we got to look at a lot of different cost cutting things, and you know, we're having a budget brought to us by all the budget units that do a 2.5 cut. I think a 2.5, 5, and 7.5, I don't know, maybe even 15, just the different scenarios of if it was this, how would you operate and what would that look like?
Right.
So we're going into the new fiscal year already asking the budget, departments to consider, what that looks like. And, I suspect we'll see other measures like in the past from 2000, I think it was just on there, like 2010 or 11. We did like a voluntary separation program. So, things like looking at different creative ways to try to get within where we need to be without really knowing it. All the dollars that we have spent that are supposed to be like 75% reimbursable from like the feds and feds through the state.
That's what I was going to ask you. There's so many of the loans and or the grants rather that are matching fund driven.
Right.
Are any of those in jeopardy because you may not have the matching funds now?
You know, I would think, I don't know anything specific, but I would think at a point in time they would be in. You know, we also don't know what they're going to pay back or when. And, you know, in the case of the county, you probably followed this every once in a while. All these projects that the county roads have had to do through the years, through the storm damage and stuff, they're like, you know, the feds get incredibly behind, like years behind in giving those dollars back to local communities. And it's a big question mark. I really value the folks who can put together the budget and be nimble enough to, you know, move things around that we need to in ways that are legal and help keep us as whole as possible. I mean, that's a lot of unknowns. I mean,
do you have any idea, Virginia, what the receivables are from the federal government or from the state government? I mean, is it tens of millions? Is it more than tens of millions?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would think there's at least millions, but I don't know. And, you know, after this thing gets through, I mean, if you look at the entire county and not just the county of Humboldt, but, you know, the incorporated cities as well, you know, I'm sure they have some of this same kind of stuff going on, you know.
Typically we'll hear about PILT monies. You know, that they're in some kind of arrears, but this is a different magnitude than that.
Well, yeah, and you know, and it depends what county or what state you're in and what county,
sure,
which fund. But the thing of it, it all counts, and having any of those funding streams taken away without being able to properly plan for that ahead of time just creates
chaos.
Challenges.
Yeah. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Virginia Bass. Virginia, last time we were on, you had talked about the deferred property taxes, that was something that was allowed to happen. 90% of everybody paid, and 10% took advantage of the delay, but that it was the big boys that took advantage of the delay. Right. Rather than the average. Yep. Has that been cleaned up, squared up yet, or are you still waiting for that to kind of come into focus also?
That is a really good question. I haven't asked the treasurer about it because there always seem to be so many other things, but it would be a good time to check in on that. And I hate to say thank you for the reminder, but
that's all right.
I am curious, you know, if things are happening. I don't blame someone for taking maximum benefit of the time that they...
If the opportunity is presented, then the opportunity is presented. But, yeah, just... Just to continue with... Yeah. What are you hearing from...
Let's not have any...
What are you hearing from the state electeds, from McGuire and Woods? Are they sharing any insights? Are there other things that we should be paying attention to, or are they kind of caught up with some of these other things?
You know, I have to say, I think they're both really responsive to our community. And I think even though they both live in the, you know, Healdsburg area, they do come up here a lot, and we get calls, I think, to provide your bones on with them more frequently than I am. They do they touch bases with us. They've gone to bat. Gosh, there was something. Oh, I can't remember. There was something that was just the craziest possible rule there could be that I saw float through my emails, and it was like, what? And called them, and of course, where I was one of the first people that said, no, this is crazy, and so they do. I think they do really try to watch out for us, but at the same time, they have to get those budgets. They have to be part of that process. So I'm sure there's lots that I don't know, but I do know that it's nice to be able to have someone at the state level that you can reach out to that actually calls you back and wants to do what they can. They can't do everything. Goodness, I can't even tell you the things I've asked to try to have them, but, so I think there's pretty down to earth, especially compared to, many of the other people I see at the state level, that sometimes I wonder what was their idea to bring that bill forward.
Right. Well, a lot of those sources come from one specific person from, I guess, funding would be the primary, whether it's funding their campaign or funding of a favorite department. As you look at the overall health now of the county, based on the budget, are we okay? Are we getting the job done without the frills? How would you describe it?
Well, from what we passed, remember, it is it's kind of like a placeholder budget, which should be the first clue that says we're not really sure. So I think the dollars, there's more certainty comes forward, I can give you a much better idea. I think.
So that would be next month. Next month we'll have a better idea then, huh?
Maybe, but we have to have a good cause. It's a cause of concern, and so we think we have a good plan to stay within our means. But if we don't get those dollars that we're expecting, that whole thing will shift. So, or if the time factor is we don't get the dollars for a long time. So
we started with it being fluid. It seems like we're ending with it being fluid. And pitchforks needed during the show this time to clean out the stables. So thanks for popping in. We'll see you at the end of the month, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Virginia.
All right.
See everybody tomorrow.